This is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert Gottfried's amazing colossal podcast with my co-host Frank Santopadre. We're once again recording at Nutmeg with our engineer Frank Verderosa.
We are. Happy New Year, everybody.
Now, one thing I'm very proud of.
Let's hear it.
To announce. We were told.
I know where you're going.
Yes, we were told that, and I'm not making this up, the Russians, ladies and gentlemen, were trying to hack our podcast. It's like these were the Russians who years ago were trying to get the secret to the atom bomb, find out how to get to the moon before us. Now they're trying to get the Gilbert Gottfried's amazing colossal podcast.
I don't know whether we can say this, but Gilbert is now receiving daily briefings from the intelligence community.
Well, yes. Someone is.
Trump is not taking the briefings, so Gilbert has stepped in.
Yeah.
Apparently, Putin is a huge Cesar Romero fan.
Yes.
Who knew? Well, we got an email from John Seals, our webmaster, explaining that some Russian hackers. I thought it was a joke. Too early for April Fools. Trying to get into
these may be the Russians from The Russians Are Coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could be.
Well, we have a guest associated with that movie who may be able to answer that for us coming up. How's that for a little teaser?
Oh, that's a tease.
We won't say who.
And so America might think this podcast is a piece of shit, but I guarantee in Moscow, we're number one. This brings me back to all those James Bond discussions we've had.
Yes. Yes. We'll get back. We should do another Bond episode. You know what we should do an episode on is the Twilight Zone.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we're doing an in memoriam episode here. There was such a positive response to our last one. 2015. It's strange, but
people's death did so well the first time.
One of the funniest shows we've ever done.
But Earl Hamner Jr., the creator of The Waltons, passed this year.
Oh!
And he was a Twilight Zone writer and wrote, I was looking up his credits, in which Twilight Zone episodes he wrote one of my favorites, which was called The Stopover in a Quiet Town. Do you know that one?
Was this Willoughby?
No, this one with Barry Nelson and his wife wake up in a strange house and they don't recognize Barry Nelson, the original James Bond, by the way.
Yes, yes.
They wake up in a strange house and they don't recognize anything, and it turns out to be, and they keep hearing a little girl laughing. Do you know this one?
Oh, yes, yes.
And it turns out they're in a dollhouse. They're in, and the little girl's hand comes down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then Serling comes out at the end and talks about the dangers of drunk driving. It's a very surreal episode.
Many people who drive and drink often fancy themselves inside a dollhouse.
Well, the couple wakes up having been on a bender the night before, and they have no memory of it. It's a very powerful, anti-drinking and driving.
Willoughby is a good one.
Willoby's a great episode.
Great.
Earl Hamner did not
write
that.
What would be
one.
Fun on that would be to look at all the actors who went on to big careers after Twilight Zone.
Charles Bronson.
Oh, Robert Redford.
Yeah, Redford.
Shatner, of course.
Shatner. So many.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Ted Knight.
Yeah, Klugman.
Ted Knight.
Yeah.
Jonathan Winters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but this episode is...
This is not the Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. Although we should get Ann Serling and talk about great Twilight Zone episodes, because she tours and talks about her dad all over the country. This is In Memoriam 2016, and we lost a lot of wonderful people this year. And the thing about this podcast, somehow or other, you and I have become... You notice this? That is the second that somebody passes, we get a tweet about it, and it's either, oh, you guys blew it. You lost another one.
Yes.
Making me feel personally responsible, making me feel terrible, doubly terrible, about the passing of people like Fivish Finkel.
Oh, my God, yes.
But somehow or other, my Facebook page has become a depository for obituaries. For every actor.
That's a rare distinction.
My wife can't get over it, but... We decided to talk about some of the people we lost, including some people who did this show.
Oh, yes.
But we just lost a couple of giants. One person you worked with and one person you said you had a story about.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we can start there, and that's Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah.
And that was surreal, the two of them dying.
Very.
In consecutive days.
And you know, on both of them, they were preparing obituaries years ago.
Probably.
On both of them.
Yeah, well, Carrie had a hard life.
Yeah.
She lived a hard life. But, and you worked with her on a Comedy Central roast.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I was on the Roseanne Barr roast.
Yeah.
And I was sitting next to her, and we got to talk. But Debbie Reynolds, years ago, at some event, came up to me.
Really?
Yeah, and she said she was a fan.
That's nice.
Which was, she didn't want to do the podcast.
No, she turned it down.
Because she's not Russian.
Right. But had you told me this, that you met her and that she was a fan, I would have pursued her a little more aggressively than we did. Because I worked with her, too, on the old Joy Behar show.
Oh, yeah.
At HLN, and she was bawdy.
Oh, yes.
I can't understand her liking your comedy.
Yeah.
She was edgy.
She was definitely had that sense of humor.
That was certainly not the image, however.
Not at all. Researcher Paul Rayburn is here, too, should point out.
Which I still don't know what the fuck he's here yeah. for. I think any of the dead celebrities are more important to me than Paul.
I did work very hard to be unprepared.
Yes.
He has Russian blood. He might come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
Debbie,
go ahead. Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Oh, you were going to say something about Debbie Reynolds?
No, just that she was on the Behar show. I was a writer there a couple of years ago, and she came on, and she was talking about Eddie Fisher and making fun of the size of his manhood.
Oh, gee.
I mean, she was I was taken with her, how she had a dark sense of humor, a bawdy sense of humor.
See, had we had her on the show, we could have talked about celebrity dicks.
Well, now that one's really bugging me. And I got to meet Carrie, too. My wife is a fan.
I was sitting next to Carrie Fisher on the Roseanne Barr roast. And Carrie Fisher looked at me at one point and said, "You are exactly my type."
Dara isn't listening.
Wow. And I said, "What's your type?" And she goes, "Little, cute, and funny."
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. So I could have fucked her had she not died.
Oh, my God.
God finds out who wants to fuck me and kills them. Probably Amy Winehouse wanted to fuck me.
God.
And Whitney Houston probably wanted to fuck me.
And Jaja?
Oh, yes.
I see we're starting this on a sentimental note.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we lost two giants in Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher, and that was sad and shocking. I have a list here. I don't know where to begin. We'll start with some other luminaries. Let's see. Well, Alan Rickman, the great British actor, died. He was not terribly old. Love his work, of course. Die Hard, Robin Hood, a movie called Truly Madly Deeply that I love.
That's a great movie.
Gene Wilder, we already talked about on an earlier show, but that one was particularly heartbreaking. How about this one? David Huddleston. Does anybody know the name David Huddleston?
Yes. He was in, whatchamacallit, that one with Jeff Bridges.
He was the title role. He was the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, he was the Big Lebowski.
Right.
He was also in the more current producers.
Oh, that's right. He was the judge.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of Gene Wilder, he was in Blazing Saddles.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors that I guarantee, look up the name, and he's one of those. Oh, that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, who can argue with that? Reverend! I think we're all indebted to Gabby Johnson for clearly stating what needed to be said. I'm particularly glad that these lovely children are here today to hear that speech. Not only was it authentic frontier gibberish, it expressed a courage little seen in this day and age. Great. What are we made of? Our fathers came across the prairie, fought Indians, fought drought, fought locusts, fought dicks, Remember when Richard Dix came in here and tried to take over this town? Well, we didn't give up then. And by gum, we're not going to give up now.
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
And he was also, I think he came on, what's that one? Oh, I'm forgetting everything. Where the kid is remembering his past. Fuck.
The kid is remembering his past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of where it's narrated.
A Christmas Story?
No. Well, it's like the show that was like a
The Wonder Years.
The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
I think he showed up as the grandfather.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Well, you guys know David Huddleston. He was Santa Claus in Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah. But it definitely is. Look up the name and you'll go, oh,
he was in everything.
I remember in The Producers, the new one, the one laugh that it had, because it wasn't a very good.
Worked on stage.
Yeah.
It didn't work very well as a film. When Matthew comes back,
I'll open the interview like that.
Yeah, you can nail him on that.
See, I like Matthew Broderick, and I think he's a good actor, but I hate every movie.
Not true.
No, but Matthew, thank you again for doing this show.
Yeah,
he did it when he was doing a play.
We're indebted to him. We'll never forget him.
And he had a rush here and rush.
Right, it was matinee day. He came up between a matinee and evening. I don't know how he.
Yeah, he could do between
that.
Two live shows. Right. He came here.
Real
and
sweet
went
of him.
Back. And but I still didn't like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Or The Producer's musical.
In The Producer's, the one laugh I remember is when Matthew shows up at the courtroom with Uma Thurman, and Huddleston, as the judge, goes, "That woman's your wife?" And she goes, "He wouldn't have sex with me unless we were married." And Huddleston goes, "What a schmuck."
Very funny actor.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about character actors, and we're going to do a little jumping around here because I didn't really put these in any kind of order. Bernard Fox, we talked about. Dr. Bombay.
Oh, my God,
From Bewitched. And Titanic and many, many other things. And the thing with him is people were shocked, absolutely shocked, to find he was still living.
Oh, yes.
All these years. He was one of those guys. That guy had to have died years ago.
Forgotten but not gone.
Forgotten but not gone.
Everybody else from Bewitched is dead.
Right. Everybody. Except for the actress who played Tabitha. William Christopher, we just lost. Mulcahy.
Oh, my God.
From MASH,
that's right.
He was the one
who just made it. Before, like, the New Year's hit.
Yes, he was, I think, the last prominent death, celebrity death of 2016.
I knew there would have to be one more.
It was New Year's Eve, and you know what was freaky? Wayne Rogers died last New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
Two actors from MASH.
Picturing him in MASH, he must have been very young. I mean, he looked like he was barely old enough to be a priest.
Yeah,
you know?
He was in a lot of other things I found in doing a little research.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, and he and Jamie Farr played hippies in the classic When Six You Get Egg Roll.
Oh, my God.
With Six You Get Egg Roll. let's see, who else did we lose? Here's some other character actors that I know Gilbert will appreciate. Dan Haggerty.
Played Grizzly Adams. Yes.
On television, died. Ken Howard. You remember Ken Howard?
The White Shadow.
Yes. Right. Yes, Ken Howard. Right. And Curb Your Enthusiasm in recent years, and also a former president of SAG. These are some character actors. Here's a name, Janet Waldo. Do you know Janet Waldo?
I don't.
She was the voice of Judy Jetson.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And she died at 96. And she was also the voice of Josie from Josie and the Pussycats. And Penelope Pitstop from The Wacky Racers.
Oh, geez.
And if anybody remembers that, and, you know, because nobody that listens to this show, as you pointed out, is under 50.
Yeah.
As long as I'm doing character actors, let's see. Here's some names and some people that we've talked about on the show and that you guys will appreciate. Oh, we just talked about the Coen brothers and the Big Lebowski. Here's another actor from the Big Lebowski. Do you know the actor John Polito?
Oh, yes, yes. Was he also in, because, I mean, I get him confused with another actor, was he also in Big Eyes?
Uh, Yes, I think he was in Big Eyes.
He was the nightclub
right.
owner.
Little guy. You know John Polito?
Who did he play in Lebowski?
He was the private eye that's trailing the dude.
Oh, yeah.
Always like a sneaky guy.
Yeah.
Always very...
He's in The Rocketeer. And, one of my favorite character actors, but really shines in a movie that's a vehicle for him called Miller's Crossing.
Oh, it was the Coen brothers. Coen brothers, Miller's Crossing.
Miller's Crossing.
What's the one I'm thinking of? Miller's something. Isn't there an Altman movie in a mining camp?
McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
There you go. That was a Miller in there.
Yeah. That's a Beatty, Warren Beatty picture.
I told you I wasn't prepared.
He was. Well, you prove it every show. You don't have to. That's being redundant.
I'm so proud.
Yes.
We love John Polito. Only 65.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was ill. How about this?
Because he was always those guys you couldn't trust.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Sizen, a famous Seinfeld episode. Really, just a terrific, versatile actor. Somebody who would have been good for this show, actually.
Oh, my God. Once again.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going around. Okay, here's somebody that was really in our demographic, Five-ish Finkel.
Oh, my God, yes.
We lost Five-ish at the ripe old age of 93. And we talked about, when we had Marilyn Michaels in here, we were talking about the Yiddish theater.
Yeah.
And Five-ish started in the Yiddish theater. He was Philip Finkel.
Oh, wow.
So Five-ish was, I guess, maybe a stage name or a nickname.
I'm glad, though, that I got to see him live.
Where did you see him in?
Yeah, it was a couple of years ago in New York. He was performing, and he did, like, you know, one-man show where he sings a bunch of old songs and stuff and tells stories.
Yeah, did you meet him? Did you chat with him?
Yeah.
I know he spent some time hanging around the Friars Club. I never got to meet him.
Yeah.
Toured with Fiddler in the 60s and really didn't become famous till Picket Fences, the 90s.
Yeah, Picket Fences, and then he was in the new Fantasy Island.
Was he?
With Sylvia Sidney.
I don't remember him in that.
Him and Sylvia Sidney, like, ran a travel agency.
She was another character.
Oh, great.
Sylvia Sidney.
How does somebody go from Philip to Five-ish?
I don't know.
Doesn't it usually work the other way around?
I don't want to reveal my ignorance about the Jewish faith, so I don't know where Five-ish came from. Here's some other character actors that I know Gilbert will spark to. Joe Santos from The Rockford Files.
Oh, yes!
Do you remember Joe Santos? You know him, Paul. 84, died at 84, a Brooklyn boy.
Yeah.
He was in the gang that couldn't shoot straight, very famous for The Rockford Files, Panic in Needle Park. He was a semi-pro football player, and Al Pacino helped get him into show business.
Oh, wow.
Which is fun. I think of how great these guys would have been for the show.
Yeah.
You know, but
it's heartbreaking when you hear about it.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of character actors out there. There's a lot of people for us to get. How about this? Character actors from Brooklyn, Don Kalfa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from Weekend at Bernie's and Bugsy and Barney Miller and Ten and Foul Play and a movie I just rented called Bank Shot with George C. Scott. And Return of the Living Dead with our buddy James Caron.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, and born in Brooklyn and raised in my old neighborhood, Ozone Park. And these are people that our listeners have been suggesting, like, get Don Kalfa, Kalfa dies, and I feel like a schmuck.
Right.
But you can't book everybody.
I still say we could wait on them.
Well,
What do you think? There are more character actors from Brooklyn or from the Bronx?
I don't know, but I mean, I'm going through this list, and so many of these guys were born in New York and Brooklyn, and the Bronx, which is true also of our guests.
Right.
I can't believe how many guests we've had. I've said this on previous shows that Tony Orlando and Marilyn Michaels.
Yeah.
And it's a long list of people who were born here.
But so what was Brooklyn? Were these rough neighborhoods that these people came from or more middle class?
Hard to say. I mean, Pantaleano's another guy who we had here was a local. It seems to come up a lot. Here's two guys. Neither one of these guys was born in New York.
Yeah.
Two bumbling sidekicks, two famous bumbling sidekicks. Andrew Sachs. Do you know the name? S-A-C-H-S.
No, that's a department store.
Well, our listeners will know. He escaped from the Nazis, born in Berlin. Interesting life. Most famous for playing Manuel on Fawlty Towers, on the iconic Fawlty Towers.
Oh.
He was John Cleese's foil on Fawlty Towers. And Bert Kwok. Do you know Bert Kwok?
No.
Bert Kwok was Kato in the Pink Panther film.
Oh, Kato!
Everybody knows Kato.
I remember one time seeing like some show about the Pink Panther movies where he was speaking and he spoke with an English accent. And I remember it threw me.
He was a Brit.
Yeah.
Born in Shanghai.
That could have been dangerous to have him on the podcast because he might have attacked Gilbert midway through.
I think he was born in the UK but brought up in Shanghai. Interestingly, his family lost their fortune in the Chinese Revolution in 1949, and a girlfriend talked him into trying out acting. And he had minor roles in Bond films, too. Kato, Bert Kwok.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not to know, Kato.
Not to know. You can't even do that kind of comedy today. You can't call him an Oriental idiot.
Yeah. And,
my little yellow friend. Yeah. And the things that Sellers says in those movies. Yeah. You can't say today, and I just said them, of course.
It's just like when they did the live-action Mr. Magoo with Leslie Nielsen. They didn't have that Chinese guy.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah.
They didn't have Charlie.
Oh, that no good, Mr. Magoo.
All right. Well, our listeners love character actor names, so here's a great one. Richard Libertini.
Oh, yes.
We lost this year.
He was a nutty guy.
Yeah.
He was in, oh, my God. Was he in Cuckoo's Nest?
I think you're thinking of Vincent Schiavelli.
No, I know Schiavelli.
Was Libertini? I don't think so. He's in All of Me, the Carl Reiner picture.
And I know he was in, and the funniest picture, The In-Laws.
Well, he steals the show as the dictator with the Senior Wences fetish in The In-Laws. And if our listeners haven't seen that movie, Run, Don't Walk.
Oh, very funny.
And the director, we also lost the director this year, too, of that film, Arthur Hiller. Richard Libertini, we talked about him with Michael McKean.
Oh, that's right.
All of Me is on here. Fletch Lives.
Yeah, he had a big career.
Popeye.
He's in Popeye. We talked about him with Paul Dooley, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's in Popeye and Dooley played Wimpy.
They hit upon it in that Andy Kaufman film with Jim Carrey.
That's right.
That he was like some faith healer, too.
Yes. I think Schiavelli's a network executive in that movie.
Oh, that's right.
He's in Man on the Moon.
Libertini did a lot. Awakenings.
He's in everything. And he grew up with developing an ear for dialects. He was in, we talked about him with Michael McKean. He was in a comedy group called Stewed Prunes with a guy named McIntyre Dixon. And he was an original member of The Mad Show.
Oh, my God.
On Broadway.
Yeah, in 2002, not that long ago, he had a... apparently, I don't know if it's a stand-up show or what, called The Fourth Tenor.
There you go.
After the three tenors.
Had a big career, and he was on my list, just like Don Calfa was, and I'm sorry that we didn't get to him. It's the saddest thing when I have to take the little flare pen and cross the name out on my giant yellow legal
pad. Everyone we've named so far would have been a great
guess. I know. We're going to do it next year, too.
Yeah.
Here's a name for you, Mr. Gottfried, a fan of horror films. Angus Scrimm.
Angus Scrimm.
Does that mean anything to you?
Now
somewhere Mike McBeardo is listening to this and screaming into his cell phone or his computer. Angus Scrimm was the tall man in Phantasm.
Oh, my God! Yes! Yes!
Yes! Yeah, an interesting guy. Was also a writer-editor for the L.A. Herald Examiner. I love to research these people and find out that they had all these other lives and talents. He wrote liner notes. He won a Grammy for writing liner notes for Sinatra albums and for Beatle albums.
Wow.
He's got, there's some other, these are, should be up Gilbert's alley. I Sell the Dead.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
2008. John Dies at the End.
Yeah, I know that picture.
Pretty good stuff. Yeah,
Angus Scrimm. You'll love this, Gil. As a teen movie usher, he memorized all the dialogue of Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman.
Oh, my God. See, for that alone, he could have been on the podcast.
Done 2 hours with him on that.
Yeah.
Here's a household name, somebody who was a character actress who worked steadily through the 70s and the 60s and really became famous in the 80s on a show called Remington Steele and then very famous later on Everybody Loves Raymond, and that's the late Doris Roberts.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah, and research, she died at 90. And researching her, her acting mentor was Shirley Booth.
Oh,
which
Hazel.
I find interesting.
And we were just talking about Come Back, Little Sheba.
With Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in The Heartbreak Kid. She was in The Honeymoon Killers. She was in The Taking of Pelham 123. She's got a lengthy IMDb page, and she did a lot of stuff and was best pals with James Coco.
Oh.
Which I didn't know. So we lost Doris Roberts. Here are some other people. How about Robert Vaughn?
Oh, yeah, Robert the Vaughn. Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Robert that Vaughn. One hurt. And there is another person.
Would have been another.
Well, kick ourselves in a different way because we actually asked
him. Now, is David McCallum still with
David
us?
David McCallum is with us, and we should get him pronto.
David McCallum. Well, please, stop and smell the roses.
Well, you want to still wait on Five-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, and talk about that James Bond, Matt Helm period.
Yeah, there you go.
Was Man from U.N.C.L.E.
You bet.
That was a good one. Boy, those were good episodes.
And he was in I Was a Teenage Caveman.
He sure was.
Yes.
What do you got, Frankie?
He's been here a bunch. Not as much lately, but we used to do a lot of ADR for his show, the CBS show, NCIS. Oh. He would come in. Never met a nicer guy.
Who's that?
David McCallum.
Oh, well, let's get him in here.
Reach out. I'm sure he'd be happy to do it. He's just such a nice guy.
And David McCallum.
I don't think we've ever had a Brit on this show.
David McCallum is in that episode of Outer Limits.
Indeed he is.
And his head keeps getting bigger and bigger as his brain, his IQ.
But, how about the other one? Remember the other one where there's a couple of kids running around a warehouse and they find this one guy and he doesn't know what he's doing there. The place is abandoned. I think it's Robert. Is it Robert Vaughn?
Oh,
it's
don't
one of the
know.
Classic.
We talking about Outer Limits?
Outer Limits, yeah. Classic thing, and I shouldn't do the spoiler, I guess. But he helps these kids or these people, and nobody knows who he is, and he doesn't know who he is. And I guess he eventually discovers.
Well,
he's been left there to protect the Earth. So
let's put that one out to our listeners. If you guys know the,
let me see. I bet I can.
The Outer
this
Limits.
This is a famous Outer Limits.
Okay, well, you can.
Let me see if I can find.
But he was also the last of the Magnificent Seven.
Oh, that's right.
Robert Vaughn. Robert Vaughn was living in Connecticut when we started this show.
Yeah.
And we put our feelers out, and I made this master list. Well, Gil and I sit in his apartment and just make these lists of names. And Robert Vaughn's name came up early in the process, and we found out he was in Connecticut. And Dara and I chased him. And he said, everything I have to say is in my book.
Oh.
So we were rather disappointed. Bullet, Bridget Remagen, Towering Inferno.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a guy who could laugh at himself. Pootie Tang. He was in Pootie Tang with Louie. And Basketball with Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And an interesting guy. Born in New York City, another New Yorker. Died at 83. And we're sorry we didn't get Robert Vaughn, but we will. Chase David McCallum.
Oh, yeah. We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's amazing, colossal podcast, but first, a word from our sponsor.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
For your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And now back to the show. Here's another person we asked that was oddly enough a fan of yours.
Oh.
But turned us down.
Yes.
And that's Florence Henderson.
Yes. Florence Henderson, I remember I did a Cheerios commercial with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a lot of fun.
And she was fun on the Behar show. She was another one that was bawdy.
Oh, my God. She'd
come on and tell dirty jokes. And she talked about how Mayor Lindsay gave her crabs.
Yes,
do you remember that whole thing?
She was very frank. I wanted her on the show just to talk about
that. We tried hard. And Gino, our pal Gino Salamone, had a friendship with her and tried. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
she died suddenly too.
Yeah.
She was not ill.
Yes, she had just done Dancing with the Stars.
She just suddenly took ill.
Can I go back to Outer Limits for just
hit
a minute?
Us, man.
This is such a great episode.
Yeah,
it's
go.
Called Demon with a Glass Hand.
Oh, that's the one that Harlan Ellison wrote. Yeah, that's
is that right?
Yeah, that's famous.
Isn't that Robert Vaughn?
I think that's Robert Vaughn.
That's right. He manages to stay one step ahead of some aliens by listening to advice from his hand.
Do I have the writer correct?
I bet you do.
I bet I do.
Oh, it's not Robert Vaughn. You know who it is? Robert Culp.
Oh, Robert Culp!
Oh,
damn it, Culp.
You're right. Yeah. I'm glad we caught that. I did know it was Robert Culp.
And written by somebody named Harlan Ellis.
There you go. Shows you what I... Shows you what's important to me.
Right.
I have the writer, but not the right star. Florence Henderson was born in a small town in Indiana. She was the youngest of 10 children. And she had another... She was a fascinating career. She was the first woman to guest host the Tonight Show. How about that?
Oh, wow.
She was a Today girl on the Today Show, and she did everything. And she was a licensed hypnotherapist. And she turns up in Weird Al's Amish Paradise. She had a great sense of humor. She was funny. She laughed at herself.
I remember when I did the Cheerios commercial with her, we were joking back and forth, really filthy and disgusting. And one of the execs from Cheerios ran over and grabbed the box of Cheerios out of my hand. And I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And the guy, to his credit, I really admire this. He said, no, no, no. He goes, I think the way you two are joking is really funny. And I don't mind that at all. I just don't want you holding the product as you're doing it.
Can we get that guy? Is he available?
Yeah. But I thought that has some brains to it.
Yeah,
you know, as long as you're not holding the product, you know, let someone do what they do.
She was a name that came up early in the process, and we're sorry we missed out on Florence Henderson. Alan Young.
Oh, yes. And just recently, they had on the Time Machine.
Yes. Well, last year we lost Rod Taylor from the Time Machine, and this year Alan Young. He was 96. That is a nice run.
And it's interesting that in the Time Machine, he's playing a Scot, and then he went on to be Scrooge McDuck.
Yes, indeed. I have that written here.
Not many people would make that connection.
Yes.
I think he has Scottish roots. His real name was Angus.
Oh, okay.
Angus Young.
And of course, Mr. Ed.
Yeah, and Mr. Ed and Tom Thumb.
A horse is a horse, of course. And no one could talk to a horse, of course. Unless, of course, the famous horse is the famous Mr. Ed.
Sort of. You're in the ballpark there.
Yeah.
He worked a ton, and I wondered if he was available, if he was sharp.
I know.
In later years, but we won't know. Okay, who else do I have here on this list? Here are some other great actors. Miss Patty Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, that was a sad one. And she was not old either, 69. Local girl from Elmhurst, Queens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, her most famous part, of course, the miracle worker.
Right. I would say her most famous part was the Patty Duke show.
Oh, yeah, that was, well...
Again, where are my priorities?
That was her most...
Right.
It really was the Patty Duke show, but her most respected
Yeah,
part.
She won the Oscar.
Yeah.
At 16.
And
Value the Dolls. She worked a lot.
Yeah.
She worked a lot. She had a big career. She was another president of the Screen Actors Guild, and became a mental illness advocate in later years.
She was all for her mental illness.
Yes, right, well, then she must have been another fan of yours. Like Florence Henderson. 10 Emmy nominations for Patty Duke, and she did everything.
And that's another guy we lost.
Yes, I was just going to make that segue. Yeah, her dad.
Yeah.
And they died 6 months apart, which was very strange. William Shallert.
Yeah.
Now, William Shallert was booked to do this show.
Yes.
Yeah, and that one, and I wanted him for months and months. We followed the every lead, and we talked to his kids, and we talked to his handler. And Darren and I went back and forth, and you want to talk about a guy with a million credits.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He worked nonstop. What am I saying? They died 6 weeks apart. How about that? He was in everything. He was in the Story of Mankind, which we brought up. He was in Mighty Joe Young.
You always remember him from the Patty Duke show, and then you start watching movies, and you go, oh, there he is.
I was at a party right around the time we booked him, and I said, oh, we have William Shallert on the show, and the couple of people there with Price. The name didn't mean anything to them. And I pulled up his picture, and 12 people at once said, oh, him!
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was very recognizable. He worked constantly. He's in the Trouble with Tribbles.
Oh, yes.
Arguably the most famous Trek episode. He did live TV, Playhouse 90. He was the voice of Milton the Toaster. Pop-Tarts commercials. Anybody remember that?
Joe Dante
used him a lot.
So now we have a connection, because years ago, I was the voice of the toaster.
You were the voice
of Pop-Tart
commercials. You were the voice of the toaster?
Yes, yes. I think you could look it up online.
Damn it.
Well, we could do that.
If only we had a researcher on the premise. Yeah, losing out on William Shallert.
That was sad.
Really kills me. And he really wanted to do it. We were getting emails from his daughter saying he's not feeling well this week. Let's try for next week. And we went back and forth. And they were very kind. They were very helpful to try to make this happen.
Yeah, he would have been great.
He was in a famous Twilight Zone episode with another podcast guest, with Orson Bean.
Oh, was that where is he Mr. Beavis? Yes.
And he was the cop. And another show we talk about on this podcast, he was in the Legends of the Superheroes. He played retired man.
Oh, geez.
So he had connections to this show Six Ways from Sunday.
Oh, wait. This has nothing to do with it. But in the Mr. Beavis episode, who was the devil in there?
He was
this old-time actor.
Oh, gosh. I will have to have Paul look that one up.
Mr.
Beavis. B-E-V-I-S episode of the Twilight Zone with our pal Orson Bean.
Was he the corporate executive, or no, he's the guy who
makes the wish come true.
Yeah, he's a Schmendrick.
All right.
And while you're looking that up, here's another actor that Dara called and we pursued. Another actor born right here in New York City, died at 91, George Kennedy.
Oh, my George God. Kennedy.
And we wanted him.
Two ridiculous line of films.
Yes, incredible career.
Cool Hand Luke, Poseidon Adventure.
Well, he's not in the Poseidon Adventure. He's in Earthquake.
Earthquake. Yeah. That's it.
He's in four airport movies. Maybe that's what you're thinking of.
I'm getting all my Irwin Allen films confused.
He's in Charade.
Oh, that's
right. He's one of the bad guys in Charade.
Along with Walter Matthau.
And Ned Glass.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. On stage at the age of two,
George Kennedy. And he was in that movie based on the real incident of where they were holding this plane captive. I think they were terrorists who were holding this plane. It was with, what's his name? The toughest guy in the world, Chuck Norris.
Oh, yeah, I know this. What is the name of that picture?
Was it Delta Force?
Delta Force.
Yeah.
That's the one.
He plays a priest.
Yes. Yes, he's the son. He's Leslie Nielsen's sidekick in the Naked Gun.
Oh, that's
right. The Naked Gun pictures.
That's right.
And he auditioned. I found this in doing research. He auditioned for the Zuckers to play the Lloyd Bridges part in Airplane. But he couldn't, and I hope this is true, and if we ever get David or Jerry Zucker in here, we'll ask him this. He could not bring himself to send up the airport movies.
Oh.
His beloved airport movies. But so the part went to Lloyd Bridges. But we did call George Kennedy. He told us he was retired, and we didn't get him. But we should do another show just called People We Lost.
Oh, yes.
What was the question that we want to ask about Mr. Beavis?
Who was that, like the devil?
Jeez, that's okay. Let me work on that.
All right. Let's see. Who else do I have here on the list? Here we go. How about some famous TV faces?
Okay.
Jack Riley.
Oh, my God. Yes.
The great and funny Jack Riley, who died at 80.
He was Mr. Carlton.
Mr. Carlin.
Carlin.
Yeah, Mr. Carlin.
Mr. Carlin Hun with Bob Newhart.
You bet.
And he was like this. Like mean bastard.
Half of a radio duo in Cleveland named Baxter and Riley, and Tim Conway helped get him into the business.
Oh,
get him into television, and he worked with Mel Brooks. He's in Spaceballs. He's in High Anxiety,
and he got a whole second career because when they had it was the I guess the Heaven's Gate cult. With the Hale Bob.
Oh, yes.
He looked exactly like the leader of the cult. So Jay Leno used to have him yes. on all the time
yes.
as the leader
right.
of the cult.
I forgot that.
So they took him out of mothballs, and he would pop up on the Tonight Show as the leader of the Hail Bop comic cult.
Jack Riley. Jack Riley was on our list in Catch 22. He's in a whole bunch of stuff, and he's in. Paul will appreciate this. He's in McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, that's
oh,
a, there,
yeah.
There you
there
we go.
Now let me. Could it have been, well, I think J. Hardy Hempstead was the character. I'm not sure. I've got a lot of actors from the Mr. Beavis episode.
Okay.
Henry Jones. Do you know him?
Henry
oh,
Jones.
Henry Jones.
That, Henry Jones. Was,
yes.
He was
yes.
the villain.
Henry Jones.
Yes.
The,
yeah.
yes.
Okay,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
it. Henry Jones, another one of those actors. You look up the name and you go, oh, God, him.
Yeah. In the show Phyllis, in the spinoff from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Henry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Was on that show. He was known for that.
They've got, I don't know if
everything.
These are all actors that were in that episode, but they've got Orson Bean.
Well,
Orson
Shallard.
Bean was.
Yeah.
Was Beavis.
Yeah. And Shallerton.
Right.
Yeah,
and
right?
Shallerton.
Yeah.
That's Shallerton at Charles Lane.
Oh, Horace. Charles Lane, another guy.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Charles Lane, who always played the Weasley accountant.
Oh, yes.
I think he lived to 100.
Oh, my
or
God.
Or close to it. Charles then, Lane was in everything. He was like Shallert.
When you get a chance, call him.
Vito,
not right away.
Vito Scotti was a peddler.
Vito Scotti, another guy.
Oh, yes, yes.
He was Jewish, I believe.
Vito Scotti.
Well,
sure.
You can tell
I
by
can
the
look
name.
It up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask Vito. I wanted to ask Burt Ward about Vito Scotti because he was one of the Penguins' henchmen.
Oh,
on
my
Batman.
God.
He was Vito Scotti. We should do a whole Vito Scotti episode. He was Sam Picasso on the Addams Family. He was in. He was the mad doctor on Gilligan's Island. We asked Don Wells about him. Boy, that's a name.
It's a great, great. I'm going to hold a picture up to the microphone because it's such a great
oh,
picture.
Oh, Vito,
I wish
love
people
it. Well,
see
listen,
it.
Listen. I would change the name of this show to the Vito Scotti Wow Show. Here's a name. And this was weird because we were talking about this fella with another guest, and he passed away that week. We were talking to Hal Linden about Ron Glass.
Oh, that's right.
We were
that was
talking about the cast of Barney Miller.
I was getting an amazing amount of tweets then because people were saying, you were just talking about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, you killed Ron Glass.
Yeah, yes.
Ron Glass, a well-liked guy and not, again, a relatively young man at 71. What can you say? I mean, not only Barney Miller, the new Odd Couple.
Yes.
But he...
With DeMond Wilson.
Yeah. He is terrific, and I want people to find the All in the Family episode that had a Rashomon premise.
Oh, that's right.
Where he was the repairman who comes to fix the refrigerator. Do you know this episode?
No, it sounds great.
We got to get Norman Lear on here before he's gone and talk to him about this. They did a memorable episode of All in the Family where the four principals go out to dinner and everybody
oh,
has
yes.
a different version of what
it's
happened.
It's so funny that Rashomon became like a stock storyline for sitcoms.
It did. It became a device.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitcoms, either they would do Trapped in an Elevator.
All in the Family did that one,
yes,
too.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Where, of course, there's a pregnant woman
and
who
Hector Elizondo.
Birth. Oh, yes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, we got to get Hector Elizondo.
We got to get Hector Elizondo. But seek out that All in the Family episode. I don't know the title, but Ron Glass plays in Edith's version. There's Mike's version. And
Mike, oh, yes.
In Mike's version, he's the step and fetch it.
Oh, yeah.
Simpson. Oh, I'm just trying to get out of the way, Mr. Bunker. And in Archie's version, he's like a Black Panther.
Oh, yeah.
He's a vicious Black Panther. He's Huey Newt. I mean, it was so funny.
Of all the movies you'd think would inspire sitcoms, Kurosawa's Rashomon.
I know.
Yes.
I know.
Not the first
one. It shows
one.
You how literate these sitcom writers are.
Became such a stock thing to throw in a sitcom.
But before we get off Jack
oh,
Riley.
Oh, and The Odd Couple.
I said it. The new Odd Couple.
Yes. But the original Odd Couple did their Rashomon episode.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They did.
There was another that was the Seinfeld did the thing off the Zapruder film, but that was
right.
That was sort of a Rashomon thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which way the spit went and where
oh, yeah.
it turned right and all that stuff.
That was a pretty brave sitcom episode, even for the
it was.
For something as late as the 90s. one last thing about Jack Riley, he was a member of Yarmy's Army.
Oh, my God.
With Bill
Dana. Don Adams.
Don Adams and Ben Tom Poston and Howard Morris. And our friend Peter Marshall.
That's a group I would have loved to have spent one day with.
Well, I don't want to give it away, but we just may have a charter member of Yarmy's Army coming up on this podcast.
Ooh.
We've had Peter Marshall, who was one, and there are not many left. McCormick was one.
Yes.
Jack Riley was one. Howard Morris. And there's one coming up. So we won't say who. We lost Van Williams a couple of weeks ago at 82, the Green Hornet.
Yes.
And I posted on Facebook, that was somebody I wanted on the show. I kicked myself for not acting sooner on some of these things, but you just don't know. You know, we don't have the ear of these people. We don't know who's in bad shape. And
also, there are those people that even with us who are experts on
I know.
It's like you go, I'll hear about someone died, and I'll go, he was still alive.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm pretty, you know, Paul knows that's my superpower.
Yeah, that's right.
If they're alive, I know about it. I knew Van Williams. I had interviewed him years ago for FX, and a real nice guy, a Texan, and good sense of humor, and laughed about himself. I thought he would be great. It wasn't just the Green Hornet. He was discovered by Mike Todd while working as a diving instructor.
Oh, geez.
He did shows like Surfside 6 and Bourbon Street Beat.
Surfside 6.
You remember these shows?
I do.
And then when his acting career dried up, he became a deputy sheriff and a firefighter.
Was it Surfside 6? Which came first, Surfside 6 or 77 Sunset Strip?
You got to look that one up. Speaking of superhero shows, somebody we lost at 95, we had a lot of requests to get her. And we didn't get her. We had heard she was not in good shape, and that was Noel Neal.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Lois Lane herself passed away this year.
I was at another event, and these are two that, oh, my God. Noel Neal and Jack Larson.
Yep, we wanted him, too.
Yeah.
We lost him last year.
They were there together, and I went over and talked to them because, like every little kid.
Of course.
I loved Superman.
Of course.
And I remember, you know, I liked, what's her name, the original?
Phyllis Coates.
Phyllis Coates was good, but somehow as a kid, I liked Noel Neal better.
I think Phyllis Coates is still alive. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Paul, can you look
she
that up?
She could be.
C-O-A-T-E-S.
But I remember I said to Noel Neal, I said, when I was a little boy, I always liked you better than the other Lois Lane. And Noel Neal said, oh, well, aren't you sweet?
Well, I'm sure she never heard that before.
Who am I? Phyllis?
Phyllis Coates, C-O-A-T-E-S. Noel Neal was a pinup. She was a pinup model.
And then she said to me, she goes, when we were leaving, she said, all right, And the best of luck to you now that you're working and we're not.
Oh, my God. She had a wonderful sense of humor.
Yeah.
Jack Larson, who we talked about last year on last year's In Memoriam show, was another very bright guy, wrote librettos. He was a very, very, very smart man. He was longtime partners with James Bridges, the director of the China Syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
An urban cowboy.
Yeah, he was, Larson was one of those people that you didn't realize how much he did.
He was on our early list, and that, you know, how many times can I say I'm kicking myself?
Oh, but that brings us back to Carrie Fisher, who had a long list of movies that her name is not on, but she was the script doctor on and
we should
writer.
Point that out. Yeah, many. Many. Plus, she survived Under the Rainbow.
Oh, my God. That's right.
With Chevy.
So, Phyllis Coates is with us.
How about that? How old is Phyllis Coates?
She's 89, so there's no particular rush there.
By the way, all right, Dara, if you're within the sound, where's Dara? She out on the couch? Dara, we got to chase Phyllis Coates, C-O-A-T-E-S.
And if it helps, she was born
Stat.
Gypsy Ann Everts Stell.
Well, she is.
You can see how that became Phyllis.
Yeah, she's the. She is officially the last link to the Superman series.
Oh, wow!
So we better make that happen. And if she's sharp and she wants to come on with us,
what if it happened to George Reeves?
Speaking of Georges, how about George Gaines?
Oh, yeah.
From Punky Brewster.
Oh, my God.
And the Police Academy films. Now, here's a guy where you look and you say, oh, the Police Academy films and Punky Brewster. By the way, he's great in Tootsie as the vain actor.
Oh, yes.
Who's trying to bed Dorothy. This is an interesting guy. Another guy that has not only escaped the Nazis, which you love.
Oh, yeah.
He joined the Dutch resistance. He was born in Helsinki.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. He joined the Dutch resistance. He spoke four languages, Dutch, French, Italian, and Russian. He was in the Battle of Anzio. He had a fascinating life, George Gaines, and worked all the time.
Yeah.
Wag the Dog. Did you mention that one? That's another one. George Gaines.
Wag the Dog. Is he in that?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he's in Lumet's. He's in the
Police Academy.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
That makes him that he worked twice with Dustin Hoffman.
Right. There you go. There you go. And he's in Sidney Lumet's The Group.
Oh,
and
yes.
Another guy died at 98.
And another guy, I guarantee everybody out there, look up the name and you'll go, oh, him.
Yeah, George Gaines.
He's
in everything. Yeah.
He would have been great on the show.
Yeah, another one. Let's talk about, we're going to move on from character actors.
He was fighting Nazis, for Christ's sake.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Shit.
You want me to just go out and find some guests who fought Nazis for you?
Yes.
Because we lost Christopher Lee, too.
Yeah, and also the guy from Star Trek. Was it Scotty?
Oh, Doohan. James Doohan. Yeah.
He had bullet holes in him
from
the
true.
D-Day invasion.
All right, well, we're going to make it a point, Dara. Find Gilbert some people who fought Nazis.
And we lost Charles Durning.
Yes, well, years ago.
Nazis.
Yes, indeed.
But I remember James Doohan also was missing a pinky, I think.
Wow.
Because it got shot off at the D-Day invasion.
Wow. Well, if we ever get Shatner in here.
Oh, yeah.
And we worked on that. Here's some comedians that we lost. Does the name Joe Alasky mean anything?
The name's
Alasky. A gentleman I had the pleasure of working with. He was sort of a modern day Mel Blanc.
Yeah.
He was the new voice of Bugs Bunny.
Oh, wow.
And Sylvester. I wrote some cartoons for Warner Brothers years ago, and June Foray, it was a thrill for me to write these scripts and go in there and watch June Foray work.
Now, June Foray is still around.
She's with us. She's 90. Yeah. I think she's 99.
Okay.
Darren, June Foray.
99, maybe we could expedite just a touch.
Yeah. an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe Alasky was a talented guy. He was a comedy writer. He was a comedian. He published horror and short stories. But check his credits. He did so many wonderful. He was Daffy Duck. He was Bugs. Did so many wonderful things. Left us too soon, and a nice man. Here's somebody we love to talk about. And I met this guy working on the TV Land Awards. We did not have the podcast at the time, or I would have asked him on the spot. Pat Harrington Jr.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
And I think, wasn't he the voice of Groucho Marx in the...
In the Vlasic Pickles commercials? Pickles? I think he was. It is not on his IMDb page.
Yeah.
But if anybody can verify that, Steve Stoliar, if you're listening to this, let us know if...
By the way, James Doohan... Have you noticed, is there a delay when I bring up James Doohan and we already talked about him 10 minutes ago?
That's okay.
It's a communication problem.
Yeah.
He was shot six times.
Look at that.
D-Day.
Wow.
Six times, and he shot down a few snipers himself.
Amazing.
Even though he was shot six times.
Well, no wonder he did such a great job as the engineer on the ship.
Makes sense. And I think what I heard about him was it was his idea for the guy to have a Scottish accent. Because he said a lot of the engineers he worked with were Scottish.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny.
So it was his idea to do it with a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
So Pat Harrington Jr. Was one of Steve Allen's men on the street.
Oh, that's right.
Again, with Tom Poston.
And Louis Nye.
And Louis Nye and Don Knotts.
Oh, yeah.
Guido Panzini was his character. the funny Italian immigrant. we talked about Guido Panzini with Cliff Nesteroff.
And he was also the super.
Oh, of course.
And he won
an Emmy
for
playing Schneider on One Day at a Time. I worked with him on the TV Land Awards. Never a nicer man. Just lit up.
Yeah.
That I knew who he was beyond that character. that I knew his past credits. Voiced Inspector Clouseau in those cartoons, those DePatie.
Oh, wow.
Those Pink Panther cartoons. Did a Don Adams parody on F Troop. Do you remember him playing a detective, a secret agent named B-Wise?
Oh, okay.
His father was an actor, Pat Harrington Sr. And the story goes that he was discovered on a golf course by Jonathan Winters.
Ah.
Doing the Guido Panzini character. you should bring back Guido Panzini, Gilbert, since you have such affinity and affection for my people. Here's one. This is a guy that I was such a fan of. I only met him one time. I never got to work with him. Bob Elliott from Bob and Ray.
Oh, my God, yeah.
God. I mean, one of the reasons, Bob and Ray, one of the reasons that I even wanted to be in comedy or even do this. Wally Ballou, Monongahela Metal Foundry. What can you say about Bob and Ray?
And was it Pabst Blue Ribbon beer?
Oh, the Peels.
Yeah, yeah.
Peels, yeah.
Yeah. I remember that as a kid, seeing those cartoon commercials with them as the voices.
They were great pitchmen. And they were, you know, but if you guys, if our listeners are not familiar with Bob and Ray, there's so much out there on them.
And they were always so like, you know, like it was just such a flat, quiet thing.
Well,
you
know,
it was like
the slow talkers.
The slow talkers of America is maybe the funniest sketch ever written. As is the Komodo Dragon Expert is another one that I'm really fond of.
Yeah, that's right.
The Komodo Dragon, the world's largest living lizard, is found on the steep-sloped island of Komodo, hence its name. And that is in the Lesser Sunda chain of the Indonesian archipelago and the nearby islands of Rinja, Padar, and Flores. We have two in this country, two Komodo dragons, which were given to us some years ago by the late former premier of Indonesia, Sukarno.
I believe I read somewhere where a foreign potentate gave America some Komodo dragons. Is that true?
Yes. The former premier of Indonesia, Sukarno, gifted this country with two Komodo dragons, world's largest living lizards, some years ago. And they're in the National Zoo in Washington.
Well, now, if we wanted to take the children to see a Komodo dragon, where would we take the children to see a Komodo dragon?
And then there's one where it's a game show where they'll give him $1 million if he could keep the other guy on the phone.
They met in the 40s, he and Ray Goulding. Interesting the way you described their comedy because he described it as two straight men playing off of each other.
There's, by the way, there's a ton of stuff on YouTube coming up here. So anybody who wants to check them out,
well, also they did an SNL special called Bob and Ray and Jane and Lorraine and Gilda, which is wonderful.
And there too, I got to see them live at Radio City.
Yeah, I saw them too.
Yeah,
I saw them too.
Yeah, yeah. They were so funny because it was like two salesmen talking. You know?
I wrote down early when we started the show, we should do Bob Elliott and Chris Elliott together.
Yeah.
And again, one that got away. Also, as an actor, they were in Cold Turkey together. Author. He's very funny in Quick Change.
Now, were they in, I'm not positive, were they in Slaughterhouse 5?
Bob and Ray?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know our former guest, Ron Liebman, was.
No, it might not be Slaughterhouse 5. It was another
one. I don't think
they
were.
No, it was like some movie. Oh, God. It was a movie with Bill Hickey.
Ooh. Well, Paul?
I'm working on it.
Want to check that out? He's hilarious as a bank watchman in Quick Change.
Oh,
a movie
yes.
that I've talked about on this show. Another movie you guys need to see. And Get a Life, the series that he did with his son, Chris, is hilarious.
Wait, Ray died in 1990.
He did. We lost him a while ago. Bob and Ray had an office in the Gray Bar building, which is a big building over Grand Central here in New York. And my dad was two doors down. And I was a kid. I would visit my dad's office, and I was too young to know who Bob and Ray were.
Oh, yeah.
And they would leave these reel-to-reel tapes in the hallways for the trash.
Oh, my God.
Now I look back.
Oh, my God.
And I think those were treasures that I should have grabbed. I was in high school. I didn't have a grasp.
Junior high. In the early 50s, they had a 15-minute show. on NBC with one of the cast regulars was Audrey Meadows.
No, yes. Well, she was a regular. Yeah. She worked with them regularly.
That's right.
Yeah, and a writer named Tom Cook who was...
Cloris Leachman joined the cast.
Sure.
Later on.
Sure, sure. And there's a lot out there on Bob and Ray. A book called Write If You Get Work. Anyway, speaking of comedians, somebody that Gilbert and I both knew, and that's Kevin Meaney.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That one came out of nowhere.
Who passed suddenly, a nice man, passed at 60. Hilarious.
I've got Gilbert. You're close, I think. I believe this was a TV show that they were in, Kurt Vonnegut's Hugo-nominated Between Time and Timbuktu.
That's it.
Unbelievable.
That's it.
How do you come up with this stuff? He's even got the right author.
I prepare for weeks for this show.
Well, once again, you don't have to prove to us you're useless. But yes, I think they played newscasters.
Wow.
In that, and Bill Hickey was the star of it.
Bill Hickey,
like an astronaut.
Bill Hickey comes up a lot on the
show.
Oh,
my God, yeah.
That guy you worked with.
Yes, on Wings.
Yep. But getting back to Kevin, hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
that's not right.
We're big pants people. if you guys don't know Kevin's work, check out his version of We Are the World.
Oh, yes.
A funny man, a sweet man, and passed at 60 suddenly and saddened a lot of people. Thoughtful, pensive person. Here's one that really upset us and upset me personally, and another guy that I got to spend a little bit of time with, and I know Gilbert knew him much better than I did, and that was Gary Shandling.
Oh, yeah.
And, wow, that was sudden.
That was a surprise one.
And heartbreaking. A great comic. It's Gary Shandling's show.
Oh, yeah.
Co-created by our friend Alan Zweibel.
Oh, that's right.
The Larry Sanders Show, which is just...
Oh, hysterical.
Hysterical and smart. And interestingly, he turned down a lot of money to take over for Letterman on NBC.
Oh.
To do the Larry Sanders Show. Because he was an artist. He had something to say. Interesting man. Started in the business... kind of writing sitcoms like Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah.
And Sanford and Son. And George Carlin.
I remember after I had the burst appendix. So, like, that was years ago. I had a burst appendix.
I remember.
So, they never really pulled my stomach together all the way because it was a whole thing. And so, I had to get another operation to pull the muscles and everything together. And I was talking to Gary Shandling about it, and I said, yeah, so now they're going to pull my stomach together with this. And he goes, oh, yeah, where are you having it done? and I said, oh, it's going to be at New York Eye and Ear. And he goes, there's a pause, and he goes, Eye and Ear. Shouldn't you go to a hospital called Stomach and Ass?
I had three experiences with him, and in the interest of time, I can't tell them all on the show, but I'll tell them on a future show. But they were all memorable. One in particular that involved a comedy writer named John Marcus, so I know you know, because John wrote for The Cosby Show, M-A-R-K-U-S,
right.
When you were there. I taught a comedy class years ago, and John and Gary were surprise guests in my class, and it's a great story, and I'll tell it. We're pressed for time, but we didn't get him on the show. That's a killer.
See what you think. See what if you agree with Wikipedia says his influences were Woody Allen and Johnny Carson.
Yeah, well,
Johnny Carson.
Yeah,
I think he had a lot of influences.
Influenced Ricky Gervais, Judd Apatow, John Stewart,
Judd,
and Louis C.K.
Judd, and he was close with Judd. And Judd worked on Sanders, too. Just an interesting man. You were talking about being sick in the hospital. He had a car accident that was kind of a life-changing experience for him. That's how he decided to go into comedy.
Wow.
And as I said, he was a sitcom writer. And I as the story goes, George Carlin helped him out when he was young and gave him some guidance. I've talked to Kelly about that. He was a Buddhist. He was an interesting guy. He was beloved. He had a lot of friends. We didn't get him, but I should send you guys to Pete Holmes' show, You Made It Weird, which he recorded a couple of months before he passed. A great podcast episode.
Oh, yeah.
And also the episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry was
very creepy.
Creepy and touching and sad. And we love the guy. Okay. You want to talk about a couple of directors?
Oh, okay.
In the interest of time, and we'll try to speed this up. Let's see. I'm going through my cards. For somebody we talked about for this show, Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Oh,
the godfather of gore.
Yes. With the Gore Girls.
Yep.
Color Me Blood Red.
Yes, well, 2000 Maniacs.
And
Blood Feast.
I remember... I forget which one it was in. They rip a girl's tongue out of her mouth.
I think it's the Wizard of Gore.
Oh, that was might be it.
Yeah.
And what they did was they went to a butcher shop and got cow tongue.
Yep.
And it was getting... And they didn't have the money to get a second cow tongue. They just bought that. And they kept it for weeks till it turned rotten. And they sprayed it.
I'm glad he knows this.
This was a low-budget film.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
This girl had to keep that in her mouth.
Oh!
And when it turned rotten, they sprayed it with Lysol and put it in her mouth.
Oh!
So I don't want to hear any other actresses ever bitching about anything.
You don't
want to
hear those complaints.
Yeah.
He was, he made the legendarily bad Monster A-Go-Go.
Oh, yes, yes.
A fixture for our friends at MST.
Yeah, his movies, they were total gore, but like, also you got a big laugh at it. They were so ridiculous.
Oh, ridiculous. Yeah. He started out in nudie films with titles like The Adventures of Lucky Pierre. And I love this. One was called Boing.
Very subtle.
Yeah. That's art.
He was a guy that really would have been fun on this show.
Oh, my God,
I don't know what
we
would have done with Herschel Gordon Lewis. We lost him. A slightly more reputable director was Curtis Hanson, who died at 71, River Wild with Meryl Streep Kevin Bacon.
One of my all-time favorite movies, Wonder Boys.
Wonder Boys. I was just going to bring it up.
Wonder
it's
Boys.
Fun.
I love that.
Was that with Michael Douglas?
Yeah, and Robert Downey.
The sort of aging Michael Douglas who can't write his second book.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good novel, too.
So great. Yeah, it is good.
His name went out of my head. Michael Chabon. And of course, he wrote a film I like called A Silent Partner with Elliot Gould with Christopher Plummer.
Oh, that's
do you know this picture?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think it was made in Canada.
Yes, it was made in Canada. Very good. If our listeners don't know it, find it.
Yeah. He's a bank teller.
Yes. Who matches wits with a bank robber.
Yeah.
Played by Christopher. He wrote a picture I really like called Never Cry Wolf with Charles Martin Smith about a guy who goes to live among wolves. He was a protege of Sam Fuller and Roger Corman.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, he made probably the film that he'll always be remembered for, L.A. Confidential.
L.A. Confidential.
Yeah.
Which is just goddamn great.
Yeah. Now, are you guys familiar with 8 Mile?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
I mean,
it shouldn't have been good at all.
Good performances.
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
Well, he was versatile. He worked in a lot of different kinds of genres.
Yeah.
Here's a director you guys will spark to. He died at 93. The director of Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die, and Goldfinger. And the man with a golden gun, Guy Hamilton.
Jeez.
How about that, Paul, Mr. Bond expert?
That's a follow-up to our Bond episode right there.
He was an assistant to Carol Reed, the director of The Third Man. Assistant director on African Queen is a guy with an interesting career and helped develop Bond style. Those are four... kind of important Bond films.
Yeah.
The first two Moore pictures and probably the most popular Connery picture, Goldfinger.
But then the African Queen. I mean,
how about that?
So interesting.
How about that? Here's a guy, and this guy.
And in the African Queen,
The Theodore Bekele.
Theodore Bekele
right.
was the German general. Like, right, Theodore right. Bekele.
And I don't have a cell phone in my lap, people.
Yeah.
Here's a name. Oh, we talked about this person with Don Wells because he directed Rescue from Gilligan's Island.
I'm sure that was on top of his list.
This was surreal. He also directed the Batman feature in the 60s.
Wow.
We just had Burt Ward here. This was weird because I told Don Wells he was still living.
Yeah.
When we had her on the show. He died that week.
Oh, ooh. See, once we mention somebody.
Do not let Frank mention your name.
Yes. Just like we had the day before, Jack Carter was.
Yes, well, that's sure. That's a story we've told a lot. Leslie Martinson was 101. He did everything. I said this when he passed on the show. Excuse me, but go to his IMDb page or his website, which is still up, lesliemartinson.com. Mission Impossible and Run for Your Life and Wonder Woman and Mannix. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, the guy, and PT-109, the movie with Cliff Robertson.
Oh, yes, as Kennedy.
As Kennedy. He had this long, varied career, and he just worked constantly, and he did it. I mean, you talk about a guy who took jobs, a workman-like director.
Yeah, one of those directors who was no bullshit, like...
Like William Bodine.
Yeah. You always hear about, like, these old-time directors who were, like, they'd show up. If it was a Western, they'd make a Western. A comedy, they'd make a comedy. It was no bullshit.
Yep.
Did you mention The Atomic Kid? Do we know that
No, The
one?
Atomic Kid. He directed
Atomic Kid.
I mean, you just go to his IMDb page. Look up Leslie Martinson. You won't believe the stuff he did.
Hot Rod Rumble.
Yeah, it's an incredible career. Let me get through these, too. Arthur Hiller, we were talking about in-laws.
Yes.
I mean, and there's a body of work. Love Story, Plaza Suite. The Americanization of Emily, The Out-of-Towners, I think that's Dara's favorite movie. Silver Streak, The Hospital with George C. Scott.
Oh, my God.
A terrific career. Author, which we talked about. And, of course, The In-Laws.
Oh, great.
Which is just magnificent. Canadian and then president of the DGA, and an interesting man. See his films. And then, speaking of the Bronx and local boys, Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
We lost. And that was a guy we were targeting.
Oh, my God.
I was tracking him when he came to New York, and our friend Bill Persky went out to dinner with him, and I said, tell Gary to do the show, and he'll do the show. He wants to go back. We didn't get Gary.
Like 5,000 TV hits.
Oh, my God.
And...
Gary Mascarelli.
Yeah.
A paisano.
And everyone thought he was a Jew.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think he discouraged people.
No.
Started out as a joke writer. He was a drummer. And he was a joke writer for Joey Bishop and Phil Foster. Partnered with the great Jerry Belson. Terrific writer. Wrote everything.
And, oh, God, what was that? I'm forgetting everything now.
Well, he wrote The Van Dyke Show. He wrote Danny Thomas, The Lucy Show. Do you remember a show called Hey Landlord?
Oh, yes.
With Dwayne Hickman and Sandy Baron?
I remember in an interview, Gary Marshall saying he grew up in the Bronx.
He did, yeah.
He grew up in the same neighborhood as Ralph Lauren.
Yes.
And he said,
Ralph Lipschitz.
And he said, his name was Ralph Lipschitz. And he goes, and he says, but he had to change it because you don't buy polo from a guy named Lipschitz.
That's hilarious. In all your travels and all your auditioning, did you ever work for Gary Marshall or audition for him?
Never worked for him. Yeah. I did Hollywood Squares with him one time.
Yeah.
But
he was beloved.
Yeah.
I never met the man, but I loved his book.
He did. Maybe you mentioned these, but in addition to all the TV stuff for which he's probably most known, Pretty Woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, his features.
Princess Diaries. Yeah. The guy did everything.
Everything. And we had guests we've had in here that worked with. We had Donnie Most in here who loved him, and we had Henry, and we had Michael McKean who talked about him, and we were getting closer.
Yeah.
But, and a funny actor.
Yeah.
Too. Funny in A League of Their Own.
Oh, was that?
Lost in America. Oh, he's great.
He's the casino
owner.
He's
great.
He was hysterical.
And
that's where, you know, the Desert Inn has heart.
Yeah. Santa Claus.
Yeah.
A very, very funny man.
And he goes, when Albert Brooks says to him, he goes, well, you know, you don't give the money back to everyone. You separate it like the good hip people, and you separate them from like the schmucks that go to see Wayne Newton. Right. And he goes, I like Wayne Newton. That makes me a schmuck.
And for our Odd Couple fans out there, he's great in little cameos, too.
Oh, in Odd Couple.
He's the angry guy on the subway. Remember they get trapped in the subway train? And he's got the rolled up newspaper.
Yeah.
And Felix pulls out Harvey Hankey. Oh, funny, funny man, Gary Marshall. That one hurt too. Okay, quickly. We're running out of time here.
The girl from Casablanca.
Oh, we'll talk about her. Madeleine LeBeau.
Yes.
She's the last surviving cast member from Casablanca.
Who I believe was a Jew.
Well, we don't know, but she did, according to her Wikipedia page, if this is to be believed, escape from the Nazis. And the song where they sing the French national anthem, the scene in Casablanca, her tear was real.
And they said, like, so many of the people in Casablanca, like, the Nazis there, the Nazi army, were mainly Jews. Like, Jews who had escaped. Right. Jewish actors who were stars in Europe escaped, and they had little parts as throughout Casablanca.
Right.
And they said also the war was still raging
at that
point.
Yes, indeed.
So when they were doing that, they said people were crying during that scene, the people in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I turned up one little tidbit here. You know, in the movie, they're waiting in Casablanca to get to Lisbon. To get to America.
Yeah.
Right? So she was driven out of Paris by the Germans, and she went to Lisbon. So that's exactly the route
so
that's described in the movie.
She
absolutely.
Experienced
it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's such a powerful scene.
I want to get to quickly to another couple of directors here. Robin Hardy, who directed The Wicker Man, the original Wicker Man, which
Christopher Lee.
Terrific movie I've talked about.
Strange film.
Strange and disturbing. Michael Cimino, The Thunderbolt and Lightfoot and The Deer Hunter and the infamous Heaven's Gate. A producer, a very prominent and successful producer, Grant Tinker. Passed away. Gordon Hunt, who was Helen Hunt's father.
Who was an
animation director, very successful animation director.
And a Jew.
Really? That's another show. Earl Hamner Jr. I talked about of The Twilight Zone and the creator of The Waltons. Jim Harrison, Legends of the Fall, the novelist and screenwriter. Yeah. Alice Arlen, who co-wrote Silkwood with Nora Ephron. Bill Richmond. But we tried to get.
Oh, my God, yes.
Jerry's writer.
Yeah. Jerry used him in almost all his movies.
Yeah. Yeah, Ladies Man, Nutty Professor, and The Patsy. And we called Bill Richmond, and he wasn't doing well, and he passed shortly thereafter.
And I remember he pops up in The Bellboy.
Yep.
As Stan Laurel.
Yep, indeed he does.
And on the Jerry Lewis variety show, they used to do this thing at the end where he'd get a phone call, and it was like some dentist or something calling him, and that was Bill Richmond.
He used to do the shtick. He also wrote sitcoms. He wrote for the Carol Burnett Show. He did a lot of stuff. And you know what? Because in the interest of time,
Go ahead. I heard a story that one time Jerry Lewis and Bill Richmond drove to some restaurant, and Bill Richmond got out of the car. And the guy told him, I'm sorry, we're closed. And he yells to Jerry Lewis. He goes, oh, they're closed. And Jerry Lewis goes, tell them who it is. And Bill Richmond goes, It's Bill Richmond.
Oh, I love it. Almost as good as the Jimmy Durante.
Oh, yes.
I have a card. What we're going to do here, we're going to switch things up, and I think I have a card full of musicians here. I think we'll do them separately as a mini episode.
That's a
great
idea.
And then we can Frankie can put some music clips in there.
Yeah, that's
and we'll
good.
We'll do it up nice. But there are just a couple of other names I wanted to get to here. Writers: Eric Berggren, who wrote the screenplay for Elephant Man; Daniel Gerson, a very funny writer, Monsters Inc., died young; Kevin Curran, a Letterman writer and a Simpsons writer, who wrote maybe my favorite David Letterman top 10 list, top 10 things that almost rhymes with peas. a very, very funny man, Kevin Curran. Have I gone through all of our cards? I think we've pretty much covered everybody I wrote down. Here are a couple of bizarre ones just to amuse the shit out of Gilbert. Yumi Ito died in May. Now, if you know who she is... She was one of the singing twin girls from Mothra Island.
Oh, my God.
In the Godzilla.
Yes.
Her sister, Imi Ito, died in 2012, but we lost Yumi.
Well, everybody knows that story.
Yes, of course. Lupita Tovar, we covered
in
the previous episode. She was 106.
They're from the Spanish Dracula.
Her grandsons are the Weitz brothers who made American Pie and About a Boy. Bill Backer is a name you might not know.
Backer.
He was the ad executive at McCann Erickson when fogged in at an airport, took out a napkin, and started to scribble a little jingle in his head. I'd like to buy the world a Coke.
Oh my God.
And we covered it on One Hit Wonders.
How many of our brain cells have been filled up
the
with that
lost
song
audio.
Ever since?
Yeah, and speaking of jingles, a gentleman named Les Waas, W-A-A-S, passed. And I love this, and maybe this is a tri-state thing only, but he was the jingle writer of the Mr. Softy truck jingle.
Oh, da 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 da.
Frank, we almost made it through an episode without any singing.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we got a music one coming up.
I remember I would hear that as a kid. And my mother would put a couple of coins in my hand.
There you go.
And I'd run. Sometimes we lived on the second floor, and I would yell up to my mother, the ice cream truck's here, and she would put some coins in like a napkin and crumple it up and toss it out that way.
That's a nice memory.
Yeah.
Did you trick or treat too?
In
tenements where people would throw the stuff out of the fourth and fifth story window.
I'll tell you something. And
because I did.
When I tell you this story, you're not going to go, "Gee, I can't believe Gilbert would do that." I had like a pirate mask. That I used to go trick-or-treating in.
Okay.
And so I'd go trick-or-treating, hit all the buildings, and you go through the buildings. It didn't matter. Open the bottom door. And so after a night of trick-or-treating, I'd go home, and I'd put on a Zorro mask and hit the same apartment.
You were working the system.
Yes!
That is so unethical.
I can't believe
it. I can't either. What I can't believe is he did it last Halloween. Used to get rolls of pennies. I don't, do they still do that in the bank? Do they still roll up coins in a paper?
Yeah.
And these women would not, you know, elderly women who couldn't come down three or four flights when I trick-or-treated in Ozone Park, and they'd throw a roll of pennies.
Which you could fracture your skull.
What it would do is rip a hole in your paper in your paper sack, and your candy corn would run.
Yeah,
you gotta watch.
Run out the hole.
The notorious old ladies with the penny rolls.
Yeah, yeah. Those were the days.
And they said that whole story about razor blades and needles was bullshit.
I'm sure it was a myth. Yeah. It was one of those myths. Yeah. I found some pictures in my mom's basement of one of my first Halloween costumes. And again, talk about politically incorrect times.
God.
I was a hobo.
Those were popular.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We called it a bum.
A bum. I was a bum.
I remember.
We'd take the bird cork.
Yeah.
They would always show the hobos back then.
Yeah.
Was like a cigar butt on a toothpick. They were always smoking.
you had the pole with the little bet with the sack.
And a top hat with the top coming off.
With a hole in it.
Yes.
Let's get to these last three names, and we'll do the musicians that passed this year on a mini episode so that Gilbert can sing. And maybe Frankie will queue up if he can find it. And this would be a weird thing to take us out on this one, but after I get to these three names, maybe you can find that jingle, the Mr. Softy jingle. That would be impressive. Let's talk about three people we knew, two that we knew personally, and one that we did not have on this show, but that we both worked with. And we'll start with Alan Thicke.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a friend of yours. And, boy, you guys on Thick of the Night, where do I begin?
Oh, God. It's a show. It was a horrible show.
The research on Alan, and I thought the show lasted longer than a year. It was one season?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. It was a horrible show.
How did you get that show?
I auditioned for it and I got into it and Richard Belzer.
And Belzer. Yeah.
And it was bad. And then, you know, I heard like he forbid his wife from ever watching any episode.
Tanya, the last one?
Yes. And then after Thick of the Night, he invited me to come on his show, Hope and Glory.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, just a couple of years ago, we both wound up on Wife Swap.
Yeah, with you demanding that Tanya sleep with you.
Yeah, yes.
You took her to the Friars Club and made her eat in the kitchen.
And I kept doing my Alan Thicke imitation, singing his theme song, which he wrote. I'm gonna make it on my own, running in the thick of the night. And she was getting mad at me, really angry.
I can imagine.
And she was going, "Oh, stop it! That's terrible. He doesn't sound like that at all." And then I found something on the internet of him singing like Sweaty and Hot.
Oh, well, yes, we played that on the show.
Yes.
We made him listen to that.
Yeah, and she heard that and she went white and she goes, "Oh, fuck, he does sound that way."
Oh, we lost Alan too young.
Yeah.
Too young.
And he was playing hockey with his son.
Well, I know. Yeah. I mean, and you know, people know him for the sitcom and Thick of the Night and the jingles,
Facts of Life.
Theme songs. But he was an accomplished comedy writer. He wrote for Richard Pryor. He wrote for Paul Lynde.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote for Fernwood Tonight, a very respected comedy show, and a funny guy. And we're sorry we lost him.
Yeah.
Our third guest from the show.
That's one I'm glad we had him on.
Me too.
As a guest.
Me too. And you got him to laugh with that Alan, with that Paul Lynde story. And it was immortalized by our friend Brendan Bliss. We have to talk about Marvin real quick.
Oh, yes.
A Brooklyn boy.
Yeah.
1927, former president of AFTRA, discovered by Katharine Hepburn. So glad we got him in.
And he was so, when we were setting up the show, I remember talking to him on the phone, and he was just like, just some old Jewish relative, you know? and he talked like that voice. and he was hysterical.
Yeah.
Just talking, and he was going, "So, Do I have to dress up for this?"
Well, it was great. We all got in here. We were in the booth. Frankie got us all set up. We put the headphones on. We called him, and his answering machine picked up.
Yes.
I thought we weren't going to. He wasn't going to get it, or he wasn't going to be home. He was wonderful.
Oh,
Find the Great Race. And, of course, if you don't know, it's a mad, mad, mad,
and,
mad world.
And Top Hat.
And Top Cat.
Top Cat.
Yeah, with Choo Choo.
Yeah.
A funny man. And, you know, you never know how these episodes are going to be received when we finish them. And I think, are people going to know Marvin Kaplan? Yeah. Never got better responses than
they
I
loved
did
him.
Marvin Kaplan.
And he was one of those guys, he was old and remembered everything.
Yep, yep. And last but not least, in the memoriam of 2016, and this is somebody who was rumored to have died in 2014 and 2011.
Are we sure about 2016?
And 2008.
Yeah.
You think it's like a McCartney thing?
Yeah.
And I did some digging into Abe. Another Brooklyn boy, 1921. God bless him. Parents, immigrants from Russia.
Oh, yeah.
He became an actor in 1947. But this I love. He was first declared dead in 1982. By People magazine. Then in 1987, WOR television, in the WOR news, declared him dead by referring to him as the late Abe Vigoda. And he ran with it. He made it into comedy. Talk about a second career.
What really impresses me about Abe Vigoda is you forget just how good an actor he was.
Absolutely.
That he's so convincing as Tessio in The Godfather.
Which he got through an open call. Coppola auditioned a bunch of actors that didn't have agents.
Yeah.
And he got it.
And he's
walk on.
He's like a scary guy in The Godfather.
Yeah.
And in real life, he was like, oh, you know, my knee hurts.
The nicest. Showbiz is a weird thing, and I met a lot of nice people, but I cannot think of a person in or out of the business that I met in my life who was nicer than he was.
Oh, yeah.
And I was at The View, and we did that crazy thing with you.
Oh, yes. Where we did. I was Lincoln.
And he was Cloris Leachman for reasons I still don't quite understand.
And
he took it so seriously.
And didn't he call you that he fell down?
He called me like six times. We had, when I was writing for The View in 2012, and Gilbert came on. We did this thing called Joy's Month in Review, and Gilbert came on as Lincoln. And that was one part of the skit. And then we were going to have...
Which makes it the first time out of two times that I've been
correct.
Lincoln.
That's correct.
Then it was like a million ways to die in the West.
I contend we gave Seth the idea.
Yeah.
But we did this bit where we were going to get Cloris Leachman to come on and do a bit about Ed Asner. And Cloris couldn't fly, and there was a whole kind of problem. And I said, I didn't want to throw the bit away. And I don't know where it came from. I said, what if Abe Vigoda comes in and he thinks he's Cloris Leachman? We just called the producer, Greg, and I just called Abe. And he was raring to go. It was like he was waiting for the call. And he showed up. And you remember we ate breakfast in the green room.
Yes.
And he was just, how do you want me to do it? Do I, you know, you want me to sound like Cloris? Do you want me to be myself? When do I walk out? He was fantastic.
And one of my biggest successes of all things to be a success with, his daughter invited me
Carol.
To his funeral.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to say that. Yeah, you eulogized.
And she asked me, and I showed up, and I figured I would just sit there. And then she said, I want you to go up and talk. And I thought, gee, I don't know if I want to talk. It seems weird. And I went up and started just joking.
You roasted
talking
him.
About, yeah, I roasted him. Talked about how old he was,
really
how funny looking.
The last chance to roast him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And saying, like, saying, this is the best he's ever looked and everything. And what was great was, and it was what I always talk about with tragedy and comedy, it's like his loved ones are there. And they loved it.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
just laughing and applauding. And it got in all the papers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It was in an English newspaper.
I couldn't make it that day. I was sorry.
What do you say about tragedy and comedy? They're like two sides
yeah,
of the border.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the two go together.
Did Jeff Ross roast him, too? I know Jeff was there with
Jeff
you.
Jeff was there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he also roasted him.
Jeff would pull that line out every year at the roast. Yeah. Abe was always on the dais at the Friars Roast at the Hilton.
And every year, Jeff would get up and say, boy, I'm just glad Abe Vigoda's not alive to see this. And then Abe on cue would get up out of his chair and angrily shake his fist. Every year.
And, of course, great as Fish.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And he went to the Barney Miller, Hal Linden told us, he went to the Barney Miller episode audition covered in sweat coming from a run in his jogging shorts. A wonderful character and a lovely guy. I'm so blessed that I got to work with him.
And Hal Linden said that Abe Vigoda kicked his ass in handball.
He was a great handball player. Yeah. And we've gotten to know his niece, Ashley.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so yes.
She's a sweet girl. And this show leads to a lot of strange things and opens a lot of doors. But it was an interesting year, and we lost a lot of people and some that we're sorry we didn't get. And we learned that Gilbert was scamming people on Halloween. So it was an educational episode. And by the way, I would just want to say to our listeners, too, if there's anybody we forgot, we apologize. George Irving, who was the Heat Miser.
Oh,
And from Rankin Bass.
Yes.
We lost him. Anybody else, any other actors or directors or writers or anybody
well,
we forgot?
So many.
We didn't have time to get to everybody. We're going to do musicians on a separate mini episode.
And I'm
but
sure.
Certainly let us know who we missed.
We're going to get loads of angry tweets.
I'm sure.
On the people we've missed.
I'm sure.
So we'll have to mention them on a future.
At least they're listening.
Yeah.
So 2016, a rough year for talent.
Madonna tweeted, fuck you, 2016.
Did
that
she?
Was her. She did.
Yeah. I think on John Oliver, they took a plunger and blew it up. But, a lot of losses. And, when you do a show like this, you kick yourself for the people that you missed out on. But we've had wonderful guests, and we got a lot of wonderful people booked.
Absolutely.
So, Maestro?
Oh, yes. So
he forgets that he hosts.
Gilbert.
I'm Gilbert Gottfried. This has been Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast with my co-host Frank Santopadre and some asshole who I still don't know what the hell he does here.
But when he's gone, we'll be eulogizing him on this show.
The more I do this show, the sooner that could be, actually.
It'll be harder to find things to compliment him on.
Thank you, Paul, for sitting in. And thank you, Frankie. Thank you, Dara.
Oh,
there it is.
Perfect.
I'm going to cry. And we have to take Gilbert out for ice cream now.